Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work.
Hello and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Ennis, and as always, I have my very timeless friend, Grace. Grace, what's up?
Hey, I don't know if I'm timeless, but I feel like I might have lost some time over the past week or so.
Yes. What was last week?
I'm just looking at our faces on the Zoom right now, and we both just look so tired. I feel like I have not recovered from...
JordanCon!
I cannot summon the energy.
JordanCon!
That's pretty good. I don't know where that's coming from.
But yeah, we were at JordanCon in Atlanta last weekend, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And we got to interview someone.
What a guy.
You've been like waiting to make that joke for I don't know how long.
Well, like there were at least two times in our live recording that someone said something about Guy, and they said something like, yeah, he's a great guy, or he's our guy. And I didn't make the joke then, so I feel like I need to make all of the jokes now.
This is decidedly worse than my Uno reason to go to JordanCon joke.
I disagree. Well, anyway, we got to talk to Guy Roberts. I'm still like, I don't even, like, what does that even mean? Like, it doesn't even feel real to me that we saw him and spoke with him and interviewed him.
Cute Jennifer Lawrence.
What does that even mean?
What do you mean?
But yeah, I think we should start off by playing our little interview with him, don't you think? Give the people what they want.
But yeah, we on early Friday morning got to sit down and chat to the wonderful Guy Roberts. Here you go.
So we are here with Guy Roberts at JordanCon. It's so great to meet you in person, Guy. And first thing we want to ask you, this is something we ask all of our guests at The Lights Work, which is, what is your Wheel of Time origin story? Because we know you're a fan of the books. We love talking to other fans. So how did you find the books?
I don't think I've ever told this story before, actually. So growing up, I was a huge fantasy fan. Read, you know, all the books that everyone reads, huge Dragonlance and Lord of the Rings and all this. And I went away to drama school because I also had this insane passion for Shakespeare. And when I first went to drama school, I started in the fall of 1990. And I said, all right, I've got to be a serious Shakespearean now. I have to read no more fantasy. I have to only focus on Elizabethan and Jacobean drama. And I was at the Trident Bookstore in Boston on Newbury Street.
I know that place.
And I'm walking around looking at plays and theater books, and there was a display of this cover of this book called The Eye of the World, where it had a little tiny woman in a blue dress on a horse and a badass looking knight next to her. And I just thought, I got to read that book. And then so I read the book. And then Wheel of Time was sort of my deep, dark secret. And I was obsessing about it. And I didn't know anyone else who read the books. I never talked about it with anybody. And it was sort of this secret thing that I just loved. And then when I heard that Robert Jordan passed away, I was just crushed, because I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to know what happens at the last battle and everything? And then when I saw that Brandon Sanderson was finishing the series, I picked it up again. And so Wheel of Time for me has been kind of something very deeply personal for me. I really love the books. They were very important to me, you know, because essentially Wheel of Time is, it has so many great hero journeys in them, in the books, whether it's Egwene. I mean, Egwene in the tower, that's one of, I think it's one of the great sequences in all of hero stories. Mm-hmm. And Rand and Matt, obviously, and Perrin, and, you know, Lan and Moraine. And so the books have been deeply personal for me. And I'd read the series multiple times before I even knew there was a TV show. And then when I heard the TV show, I just thought, you know, it'd be really amazing to, maybe I can get a job, because my wife's a fantastic actor. So I thought, I bet she has a chance of getting a part. She'll probably be an Aes Sedai. Maybe I can be cast as her warder and get one day of work in the last battle and just say that I was part of the Wheel of Time. And then it worked out a little bit differently, because the wheel weaves, baby.
It totally does. We need to get you connected to Michael Livingston. Have you met him yet?
I haven't, but I'm so excited to meet him here.
Okay, because he is a big proponent of, like, fantasy is literature, so you can tell him about, you know, how you felt like you had to keep this secret, and I'm sure he'd be very validating to you, because he always talks about that, like, you know, he's a very academic background, mm-hmm. and so he's talked about, you know, fantasy is amazing literature.
Well, you know, the great foundation of Western literature, the Iliad, is basically a fantasy story.
Yeah, Livingston will definitely want to talk to you about that.
So, you mentioned you didn't talk to anyone, so you weren't like theorizing, going on forums.
No, nothing. I was so dumb. I thought no one else knew about the books. I thought they were my secret thing. I didn't know they were hugely popular. I didn't know anything about it. I was so secretive about my love for the Wheel of Time.
Yeah. Do you recall first meeting someone who had read the books, like that first person that you're like, whoa, like, let me talk to you about The Wheel of Time? Or you went online and you're like,
When the TV show was announced, I went online on YouTube and Twitter, and my brain exploded. And then there was this show with some dude named Matt in the Dusty Wheel. And I was like, who is this Matt guy? And then Daniel Green and What Up, and then all, you know, Nablus and all the others. So, like, I just thought, this is amazing.
That's, like, exactly my story, too. That's, and I think for Honest, too, we both found it through the Dusty Wheel and the people that you mentioned. So what was your first impression of the fandom as you started finding those things? Like,
well, you know, when people ask me that, I think the great thing about The Wheel of Time, the books, is this spirit of generosity and inclusivity. And I think the real fans, you see that too. And I know there's always an element of certain fandoms that won't love everything, but I think the spirit of generosity that is the Wheel of Time is what makes it very special.
No, that was gonna be a question of mine, because we have something for you here. You'll get a look at it in a bit. But Rafe, I feel like over a year ago, said, by some metric, statistically, it's the best fandom. What makes it the best fandom, according to you?
First of all, anything Rafe says, I'm 100% down with. I totally agree. Because Rafe is amazing. And one thing, before I answer your question, just on a side note, you know, Rafe is an amazing leader of the show. And everyone who works on the show has that same spirit of generosity that the fans do. They love the show. We're working for something that we think is important. And that all comes from Rafe. It comes from the top down. And so if any of the fans are ever lucky enough to get to go do a set visit or anything, I think you can really feel the care that all the departments put into the show.
Absolutely.
And to me, it's just it's a great gig. And I'm so proud of being part of the Wheel of Time.
Yeah. No, I mean, we believe it, but having you say that, no doubt, you know, it definitely shows too.
Yeah, and listen, I know there's a lot of challenges making a TV show. Yeah. I mean, I've heard just a little bit kind of from the inside, and the care and the literally the months and years of discussion with Sarah Nakamura or Rafe and the estate, you know, there's a lot of thought put into everything, and it's easy to kind of armchair quarterback a bit and you'd say, oh, well, I would do X, Y,
or Z. Why did Uno have to die?
Well, that's a long story for another time.
So, you know, you said you went online, you looked at, you know, stuff online. Do you have a favorite, like, continent or meme that someone made about Uno?
There's a lot. I mean, Wheel of Cussin does some great ones.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, you know, the Tweeter of Chaos and Amazon had a couple good ones too. Yeah. So, no, I just love all of it. And I feel so honored when people respond to Uno enough to take the time to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've done some funny ones too. The tweet about having a sore throat.
God, that secret, holding on to that secret forever. And I was so worried it was going to get leaked. And because I really wanted it to have some impact for the fans.
For sure. Well, on that note, you did ask us about our shirts, which for those of you listening to our podcast, we're wearing shirts that say, "Will Uno survive season 2?" And that is a question that we asked probably over 20 of our guests on this podcast. After we saw the trailer with Uno being pushed down onto his knees, we were all very scared for Uno's life. So we asked people what they thought would happen. And Matt Hatch actually said no. Yeah. He said Uno will not survive season 2. Just wanted to put that on the record.
That bastard.
So we want to get it from you, from the words of Uno himself. Did Uno survive season 2?
Uno is timeless.
Yes. For sure. Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey,
it's been
awesome
talking to you.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you said timeless.
Yes. Oh, I can't believe you forgot, you know. That was his answer. So,
I'm so dumb.
You know, yeah, you're like, you know, we had, what 20-odd people that we asked after the trailer came out. Wow, did the trailer come? No, that doesn't make any sense. We talked to that many people between the trailer coming out and episode 3?
Maybe we had seen that image before the trailer. I feel like people were questioning about Uno for a long time, and maybe it was in like was it in a behind the scenes, maybe, you know how they did like a That's a Wrap video, and they did like there were things that made us suspect
it. Right, there was that one picture that was showing Deshaun Chen and Uno was like on the ground, and we were like, is he moving? I don't know if that was from... Yeah. No, that was from the trailer.
That was the trailer. But before that, there was the one of him kneeling. And people were like, is that a Grom? Is that a Lopar? Like, people were like...
Because it was only like a month and a half between the trailer and the show.
I think even before we started the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because we asked Matt Hatch, and he was like one of our first interviews. So, I don't know.
That's so weird. Why did we think Uno would die that long ago?
I don't know. If someone can tell us the origins of Will Uno Survive Season 2, that would be great. Maybe we I mean, I know that we knew someone we liked would have to be killed off.
Why?
I don't know. Because Rafe had said that. He had said, like, no one's safe or whatever.
But, like, this is, like, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
And we picked Uno.
No, but I think we had reason to believe that.
I know. I'm not saying that. But I didn't say we, as in we. I'm thinking of the fandom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And so did Rafe.
Yeah. Not like, why did Massima, will Massima survive season 2? No, it wasn't that.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be somebody likable, you know?
More relatable, yeah. Una's one of us. And so is Guy. I mean, Guy is so one of us, right? So, you know, you got to hear our chat with him there. He was just so personable, right?
Yeah. I mean, we said this last week when we recorded live. He's really charismatic, really just chill. You feel very calm talking to him. And if you hadn't seen him in the Wheel of Time, you would just think he's another Jordan Con goer and Wheel of Time fan. Like, there was no, like, I'm above you kind of feeling at all. He was really down to earth. A really down to earth guy.
But, yeah, I think, you know, the best thing about him, he was, like, game for conning, right?
Yeah.
He was like there for the experience, right? Like he showed up that first Thursday night, right? We talked about how he just, you know, he was there, he was mingling, and he was like there from the start to be like, hey, I'm here to have fun. I'm here to like talk to people. You know, he was busy. Mm-hmm. He had a busy schedule. Like, you know, he had mm-hmm. like actual, like, you know, media appointments. Mm-hmm. Media. We're media. That's just funny.
Yeah. We got to go into the studio. It was all very cool. I felt very, yeah. I don't know. It was exciting.
Yeah. But he had all of that. He had panels. You know, he was in the opening ceremonies, you know, and he, I think, I hope that, you know, other than being a media personality and performing, I hope he had time to just like be a fan. Mm. And I think he did, because there were times where we just talk about, you know, stuff. Did you get like any chance to like talk just, not metaphysics, but like something like, you know, something like deep within the books or something. Mm-mm. And yeah, I didn't too. And it would have been nice if we like, it was a group of people and we'd like have Guy come in and be like, so like, you know, Kalendor, like, what do you think, you know, with the, I'm not going to say more than that, but you know, like, you know, it would have been cool to do that. So we do have that chance to do that. What, in like 10 weeks?
Is it 10 weeks? I just started a countdown on my phone because I was so sad after JordanCon. I needed to do something.
What does your countdown say?
73 days.
It's 11 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, a little less than 3 months from now.
Yeah.
We'll be back at another convention. We'll be at WalkOn in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And Guy's going to be there. Guy's doing the... He's doing the convention...
Rounds.
Tour. Yeah. Rounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was at JordanCon. He'll be at WalkCon, and then he'll be at MelkiriCon, mm-hmm. which for him is like home.
Right down the street, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or if not that, but you know, it's like hometown con. So that I think that's going to be really cool. But yeah, so because we didn't get the chance to do that, mm-hmm. that's what we have to talk to him about.
Definitely.
Although he did... When we were talking to him, he did talk about Egwene.
Yes, he's an Egwene fan.
well, I mean, okay, cool. He's an Egwene fan. Egwene fans rejoice. But more importantly, he's an Egwene fan. I mean, again, it just, you know, was not more importantly, but like more something that I heard.
Oh, so it's more important because you heard. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah,
now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, because I could relate to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the fact that he mentioned, you know, like Egwene in the tower, I was like, dude, yes, exactly. Like it was just like a deep cut where it's like you said it on the right podcast. So yeah, the fact that he said that, I think it would be really cool to go back and just chat to him about that. Just book stuff would be really cool.
I think that sounds like a good plan if people want to join us in that endeavor at WalkCon to make sure Guy really feels like he's one of us. We challenge you to just go up to him and talk about the books and just be like, hey, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite character? Is it tempting to just talk about the show and what panels he's doing and yeah. when he's going to be on which, you know, live stream or whatever. But let's have WalkCon Guy feel like, you know, he can enjoy the fandom a little bit more.
I don't know if I can say this because then I'm like giving it away, but like I want to ask him a question.
Do we get to know what the question is?
I don't know. Like, I guess. I want to ask him, like, so who do you think killed Asmodian when you were reading the books? Like, did you care?
Yeah.
Like, did you even care?
He said he didn't have anybody to talk to.
I know.
He kept them such a big secret until, like...
I want to ask him, like, yeah, Demandra Taim, like... What did you think? Like, you know, like things like that, you know, mm-hmm. that just, you know, fun book stuff that he may have never talked to anyone about, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I think things like that would be really cool.
Or
like, yeah. I mean, again, we're doing like full book spoilers, I feel like. But like, I want to ask him, so how do you think Rand lit the pipe? You know, like things like that, mm-hmm. you know? Lit the pipe, light the pipe, light the pipe.
Lit.
How did Rand lit the pipe? Light the pipe.
Oh, right. Light. Sorry.
Ha, this is the lit's work.
I need sleep.
How did Rand lights work the pipe? How did Rand light the pipe? It was the lights work's work. He had help from the lights work.
So we had an off the record moment with Guy after our 10-minute interview. Do you want to tell everybody what we did after the interview?
We gave him the statistically the best tea. I wanted to say that as if the tea is statistically the best, but not that it's the statistically the best tea. I don't know how I can say that. We gave him the statistically best tea ever? No, it doesn't work. But yeah, we gave him a small package of lights. Work swag, which had a t-shirt for both him and Jessica, which says, you know, statistically the best, because he's, you know, they're both obviously part of our fandom, but I thought him specifically, being a book fan, I thought it'd be I think it'd be cool to see anyone wear that shirt, but yeah. He's a fan, right? He's like a fan of the books.
Yeah, and we wrote them both little notes just thanking them for all of their interaction with the fandom. And I really do feel like the two of them on Twitter stand out to me the most in terms of fandom interaction. So, yeah, we were really excited to make a little swag bag, give them some stickers and bookmarks, and I am waiting for the day that him and Jessica post a selfie of themselves in the t-shirts like Michael and Kate did, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Or if he wears it to WattCon, like that would be, that would be so cool.
Like, you're manifesting it, you know that, right? You're like, you're making it happen. Yeah. Right now.
Oh, do you know what we need to, we need to get one for Isabella.
We do. For WattCon. So Isabella, if people don't know, Isabella, was there with Guy and is Guy's daughter, and basically helped him.
She's like his personal assistant, basically.
Yeah, she basically like
organized him, told him where to go, did all the social media posts, like, you know, gave him a tour of the space.
Yeah, basically
kept,
you know,
him on track.
Handled kind of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kept him in line. That's what I was trying to, you know, made sure he got to where he needed to be at the right time. And he, you know, didn't say stuff that he shouldn't, but he did say stuff he shouldn't.
He did say stuff that he shouldn't.
But no, yeah. So Isabel was just great to hang out with. With, you know, obviously with Guy there, and
she was doing the lights work.
Yeah, for sure. And she's, if you go back and look on Twitter, she posted that just before episode 8 aired, she had finished reading The Eye of the World. And now I think she's done with The Dragon Reborn.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool that, you know, she got to experience, you know, the fandom too, because she is a reader and, you know, she's a fan of the show. And hopefully, like, you know, this is what you want, right? Someone comes to Jordan Con convention, you know, someone like Guy, obviously, who's, you know, been a fan for a long time. But let's say, like, Guy can't come because, you know, he's filming season 8 and The Last Battle, and it's April. But Isabella comes because she's, like, now read the books and is part of the fandom. Like that would be pretty cool, right? I hope they both had, they had fun being at the convention, more than just being a guest, you know, at least for Guy.
Yeah.
Just seeing him hang out with people. And then he did some signings too, right?
Yeah. So he did, there were two rounds, I think one on Friday, one on Saturday, of official signings. It was just a couple hours where Guy was in the main, I don't know what you call that.
The dealer's hall.
Dealer's
the
vendors, hall. Dealer's, yeah. Yeah,
the vendor's hall, dealer's hall. I always say both. I don't know which one it is. Makers. There's also the maker's hall.
Mm-hmm. Artist's hall.
Yeah.
A lot of people share a very big hall together. And he had his own table there, and Isabella was there helping him as well, where you could have him sign a photo of Uno or anything else you wanted him to sign for a donation to the Prague Shakespeare Company, which Guy Roberts is the founder of and directs a lot of plays there. And, you know, it's theater. It's not always the most well-funded thing. So, you know, a lot of people do it just because their heart is in it, not to make tons of money. And Guy's really passionate about it. As he said in our little interview, he was passionate about Shakespeare from a very young age. So anyway, we made donations and we got a special autograph from Guy.
We did. I think you have to... I think if you're listening to this, you may have seen it already.
Yes.
Maybe.
Probably. Maybe.
But we asked him a...
We asked him a question, and he answered and signed. And we have a photo that if you keep an eye on our social media, you will see it. We actually had two photo ops with Guy. We had that when he autographed for us. We got a little photo afterwards. And then we got one... in the studio after we interviewed him, which we're still waiting on that photo. I'm hoping it's good because like all the other photos we have with him, I don't like. So this is the last chance. So hopefully that one's good. But we got all these official photos and then we forgot to take a selfie.
Yeah, JordanCon selfies is a thing, right?
Yeah, I was really sad that I saw some really cute ones. Like there's one of him with Matt from Queers of Time. It's like, adorable.
There's one in Black Tower podcast. You've seen that? That looks really cool too.
Oh no, I don't think I have. Yeah. No. Yeah. So when was this? Sunday
yeah.
afternoon?
Sunday. Yeah, maybe around noon, I think.
Guy was leaving and was waiting outside the hotel.
Pretty cold.
With Isabella. Yes, it was cold. And Anas and I were sitting in the lobby and I was just like, should we go take a selfie? Should we like ask him?
No, I think there's a little bit more to that. So now we're like sitting on those couches, pretty tired. And there's, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people are just like lounging, you know, just tired.
Like floppy.
Yeah.
Laying, and half sleeping.
My view was, I was looking out into where like, you would stand waiting for your car or your Uber or whatever. And mm-hmm. You like looked and were like, oh, like we didn't take a selfie. And I'm like, well, he's like standing out there waiting for his car. And, mm-hmm. You know, like we can go do that. And you were like, but that means we have to get up.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Like it was like you were like make it happen, but like where you didn't have to like move or something or something to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a mood.
But I think it was still like as much as I had already seen him and spoken with him throughout the weekend, I still felt nervous like asking for a selfie, especially because he was waiting to leave.
Like he was done. Oh, like, he was done performing.
Like he's done. He's off the clock. Like, you know, I didn't really want to bother
goodbye.
Him.
Like he had come by.
He did. He had already said goodbye. So it was kind of a little bit like, it reminded me of when we went to go see Donald Finn and we were like, oh, should we follow him? And then we were like, well, we have to.
Yeah.
And
so came. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that I would regret it if we didn't. So.
I do think it was my impetus that got us outside.
Was it?
Yeah.
You want to take a credit for this?
Yeah, I'm definitely taking credit for getting us to the outside. Because then we got outside and then someone was talking to him.
Right, yes.
Yeah. And then we were like... we were like
we got up the courage and we like ran outside and then we're like, oh, and then we like kind of melted into the wall.
And there were like other people around and we were like, I don't know, this is not cool, I think. And then it was pretty cold too.
We're being dumb. And it was cold.
Yeah. So we're like, I don't know. It's fine. Yeah. And I think that's when you were like, I think we should. We should just like.
Yeah, we should just do it. We had already come that far. Yeah. Like, you know, so. So we took a selfie with Guy. We got two of them, and I hate them both. But I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, and it was just like, you know, goodbye, and we didn't take a selfie. And we took a selfie. That was fun. Yeah. It was just, you know,
yeah.
It was a good time for many reasons, but Guy Roberts being there, it was awesome. And, you know, really thanks to him for showing up and being an amazing guest, but also being an amazing fan.
He really was. I mean, I think it's easy to say like, oh, you know, the best part of the convention was Guy Roberts because he's a famous actor in The Wheel of Time. Wow, cool. But he really was like such a highlight. And not because he was a famous actor. It was just because of who he was as a person. Like, he just made an impression on everybody. And everyone we talked to was just, like, going on and on about how great he is. For many different reasons.
Yes.
So thank you, Guy. Yeah. We hope you'll come on the Lights Work officially in the future for a longer chat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it'd be fun to just, you know... do rapid questions with
him. Yes, how fun would that be? Rapid questions with Guy.
Yeah. So yeah, no, Guy was a lot of fun, but I think we there was a lot of other things that I think we had fun doing. So how about we do like a daily highlights of what you remember from JordanCon? You know, like what do you remember from Thursday? So you know, we got in on Thursday. And, you know, just hung out in the lobby, you know. I checked in. Actually, before I even went up to my room, registration was open. So I just, like, took my bag and, like, went down where the registration is. Like, there's no line and got my badge. It said hi to a couple of people and then went up to my room to put my bag away and just kind of, you know, freshen up and then come back down. I don't think I met anyone in the lobby before I came down the second time. Like, from coming in, checking in, I saw the registration people, and I knew, like, Dan and Howard. I don't know if you know Dan and Howard.
No.
Dan is also Huff. So, Dan and Howard, if you Google Ashaman and go to images, the first two actual people you see of Ashaman, like in cosplay, are Dan and Howard. So if you see them, you would know who I'm talking about. They've both of them have been at both WattCons. They've been at JordanCon for I think a very long time too. I'm not sure if they're staff. I'm pretty sure they're staff at JordanCon, and they're both just great people. So I saw both of them and said hi to them at the registration because, you know, they basically helped me register. But then I didn't see anyone that I knew in the lobby until I came back down, and I was like, we need to find Alex. Alex was like our, I don't know how, but Alex became
anchor.
Anchor, yeah. Alex is, you know, like, if you haven't met Alex, Alex Reeds, or Altex Alex. Alex is a giant of a person, both in...
with a giant heart.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Not just in stature, but like, you know... like, he's a great person otherwise, too. So, and, you know, he's, you know, Lights Work crew, you know? So.
Did I fan cast anyone as loyal when we did fan casting? I don't think I did.
Are you fan casting loyal? Wow.
Did that
just happen? Okay. I think I fan cast loyal.
You did?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Maybe I did, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's just like what he embodies though. Just like so kind and warm and
like don't be hasty. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 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 For sure.
So yeah, we sat down and ate with Alex. You ate with Alex.
No, I ate. Yes. You did not eat.
Is that your highlight, the eating that pizza?
Kinda, yeah. So yeah, I was starving, and I wandered down to the lobby and found Alex. He was drinking an old fashioned that looked so good. So I ordered one, and I ordered the, oh, I wish I could remember the name, because they all had
It wasn't the Matt Cawthon. Cawthon? No, it wasn't that.
It wasn't the Matt Cawthon.
It was the Tinker.
I don't think it was. If you give me 1 sec, I can.
The Tinker was the impossible, because Tinkers don't eat.
Yes, yeah, right, because yeah, Tinkers, yeah. They would be vegan for sure. Okay, here's the menu here. Two Rivers Mushroom Pizza.
Oh, nice.
This is a cauliflower crust, roasted wild mushrooms, caramelized onions, mozzarella cheese, balsamic syrup, truffle oil, and baby arugula.
Yeah, the baby arugula was too much, I think.
Didn't eat this pizza, so you don't get to judge it.
I could see the pizza, so arugula, no to arugula. All you arugula haters out there. I don't know. Okay.
Listen, this is my favorite moment from Thursday, not yours, so you don't get to, like, don't yuck my yum.
but, like, the stalk, they leave the stalk on the leaves.
Are you done?
Wow. But the crust was really good.
I enjoyed the entire pizza, including the arugula, because I was starving, but also it was a really delicious pizza. I think I probably said maybe 5 times, this might be the best pizza I've ever had. But, you know, variables, right? Like, I was really hungry, but also I was at JordanCon
with people that
I really like. And I had almost an entire old fashioned before I started eating it. So there's many variables there. Yeah. I still maintain that it was really, really that good.
I don't know. The pizza, we had a lot of pizza, so we can talk about pizza again, maybe. But I had the crust of the pizza because I was hungry too, but I wasn't like hungry. And
I don't like crust.
Yeah, and you left some crust, so I was like, I might as well try this. And the crust was good.
What did you ask? How many something?
Oh, how big was the pizza?
It was like the size of a dinner plate.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, and you ate all of it, yes.
There was some banter happening about
that. Do you not remember what it was? What the banter was?
No, I mean, see, this is why, like, I can try to pick a favorite moment from each day, but all of the days kind of run into each other, and I forget, like, half of the things.
Wait, do you not remember the actual banter that was happening?
It was something about, like, someone said it. I ate the whole thing, and someone was like, "Well, it was small," and you were like, "Not, it's not, it wasn't, not small or something." Yeah,
yeah. I was like, "It was not, not small." And somehow that people made that out to be like me saying you ate like a extra large New Yorker style pizza or something.
Yeah.
And what I was really saying that it was like not. Like, not small, you know? Like, it was small, basically.
Yeah, yeah. We completely misunderstood the double negative.
But there was definitely some banter around that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But all of that was fun. I mean, that's definitely the pizza, Alex, the old-fashioned, Dan and Jess came down.
Mel was and then, there.
And Mel came, yeah. Yep.
And then Guy.
And then Guy. Yeah. So all of that was just like... Yeah. A whirlwind of happiness for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thursday, I think that was really cool. What about Friday? What do you remember from Friday? I can start with Friday.
I thought I only had to say one thing. Are we going through our whole day?
No, just like Friday, like highlights, daily highlights.
Friday highlights.
Just to pick one thing from Friday. Mine was the amazing croissant I had Friday morning. It was like so like warmed up, like fluffy. It was really good. It was really good. And you know, I had like a latte with it, and yeah, it was just fun. It was a really good start to the day.
Yeah, so I had one of those on Saturday with a mocha, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so good. I like died and went to heaven. And then the latte machine started acting up, and she only filled my cup like maybe, I don't know, 3/4 of the way, which was plenty. But she's like, come back and I'll give you a refill. And I brought it back for a refill. But then like the latte machine wasn't working. And then I tried again on Sunday to get a croissant and a latte. And there were like no croissants and the latte machine was still broken. And
I think there were no...
It was our fault because we were like, hey, the croissants and lattes are so good.
And like too many people had lattes and broke the thing and everyone ate the croissants.
Yeah, I mean, she said that on Sunday. She's like, too many people are ordering them. The chef can't keep up or something. So next year, Crowne Plaza, be prepared for Jordan Con.
I don't know why.
I'm hundreds of croissants, please.
I'm like just picturing like Marcus working, not Marcus Rutherford, the other Marcus, working in the back making like croissants.
Oh, Marcus from The Bear. Yeah, that's what I was picturing too.
And like there's like a machine with like chits coming out saying croissant, latte, and,
and they're all flipping out.
Yeah, but I thought that was there's a lot of stuff on Friday, but I liked it. Was busy. It was a really busy day, but I thought that was I liked that.
Yeah, the morning was definitely my favorite part. I think just as I was saying before, like waiting, you know, we got up early, got breakfast, and then we were waiting outside the studio for our turn with Guy and like setting up all the equipment, and I was like, this is just really cool, like really exciting. And you know, it's the first day of the con. Yeah, I felt very professional. I think that was it. I mean, we talked about this already last week, but the great season 2 adaptation panel was definitely a Friday highlight too.
I mean, Looney Theories.
Looney Theories was okay.
Whoa, okay.
You were great. You were great. You were great, and the audience was great. I just feel like I didn't contribute that much.
Looney Theories was fun. But yeah, I think the morning was a lot of fun on Friday. And then Saturday, mm-hmm. I thought... Wait, now I'm a little confused. So... Did we have pizza again on Saturday night with Nablus? No, on Friday night.
No, it was Saturday. So Saturday we had lunch with Nablus at Cheesecake Factory. Then we ordered Lights Work pizza. And then later Nablus ordered pizza.
Pizza.
From the same place.
Because I was like, that pizza was really good too that night.
The late night one. Yeah.
It was the same pizza. It was the same pizza.
I think it was like hotter or something because, like, you know, we had brought it outside and we were recording. Yeah. And I think I only maybe had one slice of the picnic table pizza. But the late night pizza
that night.
Yeah, I did too.
And that and when Naples had brought it in, like,
yeah.
There was a lot of pizza and it was a lot of fun.
Yes. Naples, took a page from Omar's book and ordered the late night snacks, and it was much appreciated.
Yes. I feel like our daily highlights is food.
Yeah, we have been talking a lot about food, haven't we?
Because my Sunday is the tacos.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But wait, I wanted to mention something about Saturday.
Yeah, let's go to Saturday.
Too, that, yeah, so...
I had a Saturday. I had another Saturday thing, too.
Yeah, I think it might be the same thing as me. So there was something different at this Jordan Con that had not been there before, which is that there was music.
Yes.
There was a panel that was symphony orchestra.
Yes. Yes.
Or just symphony band. Symphony band, I think. Because it's not an orchestra.
No strings.
Yeah. Symphony band. It brought me back to high school, high school band days. But yeah, I didn't know about it. And you texted me and you were like, there's music. And so I ran down to see the music. And... it was really good.
Yeah.
It was such a great idea.
Yeah. So, this was the first time they had someone do that. So, in the main kind of main room, they had, you know, live, like, wind music. I don't know what this is. Like, when is it, like, if you have, like, trumpet and clarinet and flute and all, and a drum set and all that making music.
It's a band,
yeah. I feel like I looked back at the opening ceremony thing, like they mentioned it in opening ceremony. It's in the program. So like if we had actually gone to opening ceremonies, like we would have known. But I didn't know, right? So I was just going to go to the Maker's Hall, the Vendor's Hall, and I was walking by And I heard the Indiana Jones theme playing. And I'm like, that's indie. Why is someone playing that? Like, are they playing like a trailer or something? Like, is someone like, and I look in and there's like musicians, like, you know, cosplaying and playing music. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And like, someone like saw me and gave me like a QR code and it's like, this is their set list. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I was like, just gonna stand at the door and just listen because it was fun. And I, like, you know, looked at the QR code and looked it up. And I was like, oh, they played Superman and then, like, Pirates of the Caribbean and then, like, Star Wars and the Invincibles and Star Trek. Like, all of the really, really cool stuff.
Yes, they did it was such a good idea. Let's play nerd music for a bunch of nerds and let's all dress up, like, in fantasy cosplay. And it was fantastic. I'm laughing because I'm looking at your text.
I said whistling.
There's a whistling concert.
That's what they called it somewhere. There's something wind whistling something.
Woodwinds. Woodwinds.
Is that what they called it?
Flutes and clarinets. Well, it was brass too. It wasn't just like woodwinds.
I know,
it
was, no, but there was something in like their
whistling.
Their program or something that said whistling something, or like symphony winds or symphony whistling or something. Like, it was just like, you know, a way of presenting it.
But then you like corrected yourself and said, I'm sorry.
No, please have fun at my expense. Yeah.
Trumpet. That's all you said.
What? I mean, that is very telling.
Like, I don't know what I was supposed to think. Whistling, but then trumpet. Like, was it like,
and concert, you know,
20 people on stage whistling and then one guy with a trumpet. Or not even, it was just a trumpet.
they were whistling about a trumpet. But yeah, the way they did it was, it was really cool. It's like, you know, the conductor would read a quote from, let's say, like Captain Jack Sparrow,
mm-hmm,
and then play that, or he would, like, you know, a quote from Clark Kent, and who's Superman, mm-hmm, by the way, spoilers.
It was good.
And yeah,
I mean, this is trust between friends that I came down to that based on whistling and trumpet. And when I arrived, it was like way better than I thought it was going to be. You know, it was like this huge, wonderful band. It was
really cool. And they played really well. And it was like, you know, just something different. Not, you know, it was kind of that unexpected thing, you know, a surprise where you're like, mm-hmm, oh, wow.
Well, and a lot of the panels and a lot of the weekend, to be honest, is talking. You're talking so much. Like my voice was almost gone by the end of the day on Friday already. Yes. And you're talking, you're listening, you're going to panels, there's more talking and listening. So it was nice to have, like, just music. You could just sit there and listen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I hope they do
please,
it again.
Please. I don't know if you noticed, JordanCon, like, at pretty much any panel they had staff come in, and they were counting the number of people. And I don't know why they were counting, but I think it was almost like an attendance kind of thing. Like, it could be, you know, making sure, you know, the correct number of people, like, you know, they had planned rooms the right way or something, right? Because if they chose a certain room for a certain panel, like, maybe it should be in a smaller room or a bigger room or whatever, right? But also, like, how well was it attended? So I think it was fairly well attended. And I really do hope they bring them back because they were amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they got a standing ovation at the end. Like, it was, like, really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Peachtree Symphony Band?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was really cool. And then Sunday, right? So Sunday, I thought, what do you have for Sunday?
Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night was really cool. I thought Sunday morning there was, you know, I did like how Danny and Brett gave the bobblehead to Livingston. I thought that was like, Like, that's the lights work. Like,
that was the lights work. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was so good.
It was so good. And, you know, I think Livingston's reaction is like what makes it even more like, you know, because you know that face he makes, like the face he made with the gin at
OGearCon? He's like a giddy face.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just like a little kid at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and then he laid on the couch. Yeah. he laid on the back of the couch.
He was
feeling the love.
He was vibing at that moment. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was.
So that was really cool. But yeah, Sunday, I think, you know, the con was done. A group of us were like, okay, let's go get dinner. And we went to the best taco place in many states.
Yes, and I'm not going to say the name because I don't want everyone knowing about it.
We're not going to repeat our croissant mistake.
Yeah, we can't have y'all mobbing these taco places and then they won't be good anymore. But it is a chain and you can find it in many states. And
if you're at JordanCon or WalkCon or wherever con.
Ooh, is there one in Columbus? Have we looked?
No.
No?
I've looked.
Let's call corporate. Yeah. We'll call corporate and be like, open one in Columbus. We will go and we will spend a lot of money.
Yeah. But if you're there, we'd love to go with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So it's not, or reach out to us and we'll let you know what it is. But yeah, I think we had a lot of fun eating tacos. But I thought the minivan ride back to the hotel was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I would say I have two favorite parts of that. Well, everything was my favorite about that whole evening. Like, we ate outdoors. There was like a fireplace.
The dog.
Next to us.
I don't like there dogs.
Was a dog. Random dog came out.
Hey, the and, dog like, looked so cute though.
And really good food and good friends. And there was a hilarious story that was told at dinner about the Firefly fandom.
The brown coats.
I have not laughed that hard in so long. And I can't really remember even why, just maybe the way the story was being told or the way people were interjecting. But I do remember that it like was eerily similar to Wheel of Time fandom, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I was forming a fandom loony theory based on what was being told.
But there was definitely like there was like Mel was like, but wait, but let me tell you, like it was funny.
It was extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, a bunch of us crammed into this little booth.
But like I think there's a prelude to the pod.
Okay.
I think the car. Well, I think the car started it. I think without the car.
Fine.
Yeah, I think without the car ride, we would not be doing that.
Okay.
No?
Do you want to talk about the car ride?
I thought the car ride was the reason that happened. So like.
Maybe,
So we sat down, you know, it was a minivan. There's like, I think six of us, right? So we're like, you know, sitting. And then there's like two iPads. Or like some tablets in front of, like one was in front of me and one was in front of Doyne. And the Doyne one was
he
just-
He was playing some kind of games.
Yeah, it was just games. It was these games that if you've ever been in an Uber or Lyft, you know what games we're talking about. But the one that I had access to, the driver was like, you can play any song in the world on this. And you're like, any song in the world? You're like, no way, that's not possible. And I like put in a song and like it couldn't play any song in the world. But it could like play like different like channels or radios or whatever. So we ended up playing Creep by Radiohead, which everyone knew the lyrics to except me, because I only know the lyrics to Freak. Because that's who I am. I'm, you know, a hardcore fan freak.
And a Dusty Wheel historian.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
That's the only version of that song.
That's the only version that I know. I mean, I've listened to the other one, but, you know, I've not. Those are not the words that come to mind. But, like, it was, like, this pretty fun what would you call
sing-along?
It? Sing-along? Yeah.
Sing-along.
Yeah. We were just singing along to Creep, and I thought that was really, really fun because I think it got us into this music mode. And once we got back, we were like, Doyne was like, does anyone have like a Bluetooth speaker or something? And you're like,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I brought my Bluetooth speaker down and a bunch of us crammed into this little booth. It's like a little cozy pod almost. I don't know. And it's got like high walls. So you just feel really enclosed. And we just played a bunch of music.
It's the, what do you want to name it? The Alcare booth?
Sure.
Wow. Okay. Tough crowd.
I don't know. I don't know what Alcare means.
I know. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Alcare booth.
Yeah.
And I just started asking people like what their favorite songs were and just started adding them to the queue. And we just listened to songs and sang, and it was really nice.
Yeah. I think it was a fun, chill way to round off the weekend.
And that was the first time you've been there for a Sunday night,
yes,
right?
True.
You have not?
Yes.
Yeah. So what was your impression of your first Sunday night?
It was good, but the fact that it was like, you know, there was an early morning flight, made it slightly less, just made it harder to, you know, to enjoy. Because I think, you know, you're tired after a busy con, you know. You just want to have like a full night's sleep. But I think like just the Sunday vibes were really, really good. Like I know if I'm at Jordan Con on Sunday evening, like that's what you should do.
What? What like, should you do?
Eat good food and listen to music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like it's going to be a thing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I...
With flannel, while wearing flannel.
Was I wearing... I think I wore like flannel all weekend, probably.
No, but like me and Doyne did. And...
Oh, right. You and Doyne, you were twinsies.
Yeah.
It's funny you said like you couldn't enjoy it as much because you had an early flight. I think this was the earliest flight I've ever had coming from a Monday after a con. And also was like... the latest I've stayed up too. Because usually I'm responsible-ish on Sunday night and I go to bed and I'm sad. So I say goodbye to everybody sort of early and then I pack and I go to sleep.
Right.
But I didn't do that this time. I like stayed up pretty late.
Yeah.
Just because I was having such a good time and I was like, whatever. And I think I only got maybe 3 hours of sleep, maybe less. That was a mistake. So never doing that again.
Yeah, I think I did something similar at WantCon, the first WantCon 2 years ago. I had to leave early on Saturday morning. And I think my flight was at like 5. Like it was like way early. But I still had a really good time on Friday. Because I like knew and I hadn't told anyone. I think I had told just a couple of people. And I remember like at like midnight or whatever. Or like, you know, between midnight and 1, I was like, yeah, I think I should sleep. And I was going up in the elevator and it was with Matt, actually. And Matt was going to bed because he was like, you know, hosting the next day, early morning. And I was like, hey, I'm like leaving in like 4 hours. And he's like, what? Yeah. And it was, I had a similar kind of feel to it, but I was more tired this time just because like it was after like 3 days of just a really good time. But yeah. I think altogether a fun experience. I mean, we missed a lot of people, right? I missed a lot of
people. So many people. Yeah. I missed a lot of people,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people there and it was great to meet, you know, again, many friends that you hadn't seen for a long time. But I would be not truthful to myself that, you know, I missed certain people that I only get to see at conventions. And there's a long list of those people that, you know, they're like...
You all know who you are.
Yes, exactly. it's you know, it's that the introverts listening to this know how important comfort people are even in the wonderful space that a Wheel of Time convention is, that there's, you know, again, there are times that, you know, you just need time to yourself and you can, you know, you're able to take that time. But even within like a big group of people, there are certain people you can just like...
You're with them, you still feel
like you're alone. You can, you know, get your energy back or like conserve your energy. And yeah, that's, I'm looking forward to that at WantCon because it'll be a lot of fun again. And
and you're tired. This was the first convention that I really felt like I was there more so for the people than for the panels and the Wheel of Time stuff. And maybe it's just because there's not a lot going on right now between seasons and there was no news.
Yeah, there was actually no news at all.
Zero news, despite the hype.
I would say that I was excited, definitely for the people and all that. But like, I was I did two live streams, right? Like, I was doing certain things that I had not done before by myself. So I thought there was a lot of that kind of not pressure, but just, you know, like doing stuff. It was fun. It went well. But like, I don't know if I like would want to do that.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. You were focused on that for a good portion of Friday and Sunday. It's work.
I think it is worth it though, because of a lot of people who like, you know, are not able to be at a convention, to be able to, you know, bring them in for a little while and just chat, you know, have them be there. I think is just an important part of why I made it to a convention in the first place. So I think I say that it, you know, it's a lot of work, but it's, and I, like, maybe you don't want to do that, but like I do. You want to do some giveaways?
Yeah, we forgot to do our raffles, our giveaways. Live stream. Yeah, so we have two t-shirts that we were going to give away during our live recording, but we completely forgot. So we're going to give those away now. We're going to give one to someone who is there in person and one to someone who was there on Discord in our live recording chat. So Anas has arranged them in a way that I don't know and can't see. So I'm going to pick a number and that will be the winner. All right. So...
pick a number...
two.
Two is Brother Zachariah.
Brother Zachariah! Yay! Okay.
All right.
And then Discord?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go with number three.
Perrin Golden Eyes.
Yay!
All right, there you go.
Congrats, Brother Zachariah and Perrin Golden Eyes. If you would like us to send you your t-shirt, please DM us your address and we will send it to you. If you're going to be at WalkCon, we could also bring it to WalkCon.
Yes.
We have a large and an extra large. So if you have a preference, also let us know that.
So yeah, that's it for this week. You know, a lot of fun recapping JordanCon. Hope you had fun listening to our Guy Roberts interview. We had a lot of fun talking to him. If you can, make it out to WalkCon. Or Prague for MercuryCon to have the chance to meet Guy and you know, have him autograph something for you, or you know, take a selfie with you or something like that,
or tell you what he likes about the Egwene Tower plot.
Yes, but yeah, it was a lot of fun to hang out. If you like what we do, follow us on social media, at Lightswork Pod on Twitter, at The Lightswork on Instagram, go to thelightswork.com, follow us on our Discord server, and if you're able, sponsor us on Patreon. And until next time, it's your turn to go out into the world and do the light's work.
The Light's Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Light's Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.